Welcome to You, Me, and the Dogs, the podcast where we explore the wonderful world of dog ownership. Join me every Wednesday as my guests and I share personal stories, insights, and experiences, of course, with dogs. So today we're taking a stroll with Robin, who owns Hot Dog Pet Photography, and she is also pack leader of the Poke Pack. Right?
Yes, ma'am. We have five dogs at or over 100 pounds. So this one is Puzzle. She is my absolute sweetheart. So she's about 11 months old now, about to have her first birthday.
So how did you start with photography? How did you get into
it? Yeah. So I started basically taking photos of my own dog. My heart dog was Jake. He was a Bernese Mountain dog who went through a lot of crazy life with me. I started taking photos of him because I wanted a way to make him live forever. Kind of developed a style with him, just capturing whimsy and color and brightness and fun. And people started seeing those photos, and then I started working with animal shelters to help take those photos of adoptable dogs to try to get them homes. And eventually, I had so many people reaching out that I started taking pictures for clients. And for the last 10 years, have built this up as a whole brand and have had the pleasure and the incredible opportunity to meet and work with some amazing people and their pets and really just get to be able to tell their stories. And more importantly, I get the incredible opportunity to make a piece of their pet live forever. So I lost Jake last August. But I love this job so much because a piece of Jake lives on in every single portrait that I take. And his legacy really drives me to put my heart and soul into everything that I create for a client. Yeah. I've been absolutely amazed at how many of my past clients will reach back out and will contact me immediately after their pet, you know, passes away or becomes ill, to tell me how important their portraits are and how much they mean to them. I always thought that was interesting until it happened to me and I lost Jake, and I had hired two separate photographers, and I reached out to both of those photographers and I had to tell them how important that those photos were and how much those portraits mean to me. It brought a whole new perspective, really, of understanding, you know, that this isn't just a job where I produce images and move people along the assembly line. This is a job where I create lasting connections with the people that I get to work with.
Yeah, especially now with so much technology and like your iPhone takes wonderful pictures.
Oh, absolutely. But I really think there's a place for the iPhone photo and a place for a professional portrait. Lord knows that my iPhone is chock full of photos and videos of my own dogs. And I don't bring out the professional camera every single time that I need a portrait of them. You know, there's absolutely something to be said for that spur of the moment, capturing memories as they're happening.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, there's something to be said for the professional portrait, which is able to elicit for us so much of the dog's spirit and personality and make that live forever in a moment that is captured with the correct lighting and with the landscape and the background has intention to it, and it helps tell a part of the story as opposed to just being, you know, taken in your hallway.
So how did you go about picking this location to be your studio?
Right. So we refer to our property as Versailles. kind of a play on Versailles and the gardens in, you know, outside Paris, and how everything there is curated for beauty and for a special purpose. And basically, after having photographed primarily dogs for the first 5 or so years of my business, I kept coming across basically the same pain points during sessions. And that was either people would have dog reactive dogs, or we would be in a public location and despite, you know, leash laws, a dog off leash would come running into the photo, or well-meaning bystanders who are curious about the process would walk right into the session and distract everything, and we would be right on the brink of the perfect photo.
Like the perfect photo.
And then it all just goes to craziness. I was chatting with my husband and I kept coming up with this harebrained idea where I was like, I want
a piece of property where I can control all of the elements, yeah. you know, to as the extent that we can.
Right.
So after a bunch of research and saving up a lot, we found this property. And so we're in the suburbs of Dallas-Fort Worth, and we have 7 acres here that we, over the past few years, like Versailles, have cultivated for a really specific purpose. We installed this, and we
So this, you did this?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so the pond was already here. We added the dock so the that dock. It would allow us to create really epic portraits back here. And then the hay fields are incredibly beautiful no matter what time of year, whether it's spring and it's tall, green, and, you know, billowing, or whether it's later in the year, towards summer and fall when it turns...
Yeah, the fall must be beautiful.
That neutral color hay field really is just such a stunning backdrop because it allows dogs to be the main focus of the image.
Like puzzle it?
Yeah, like puzzle always has to be the main focus, clearly. And then this year, we added one of my most favorite features, and that was our 1948 vintage Chevy truck. I had been searching for years to find the perfect vintage truck that had that perfect patina, was that gorgeous turquoise and rusted, and that combination of farm style with still kind of the classic elements of the truck. And so dropped the engine, made a new one, and now it runs, which allows us to take it to locations off property as well. So we've done a lot of horse portraits, incorporating the vintage truck as well. It just makes for a really fun element of the photo.
And you got like the same color, like what you imagined.
I know. So when I found this truck, I was like, oh my gosh, it exists.
Yeah, you were like, I manifested.
I did. I finally did. I was starting to wonder if it was out there.
No, but it's beautiful. And so in a session, what do you do with the dog? Like, you just let them go and themselves?
So it really depends on which part of the session we're in. We typically photograph for about 2 hours, and that gives us kind of that sweet spot of where we have documented a whole range of personality and traits and different images using different lenses and lighting styles that our client will have a huge variety to select from. And on the flip side, around 2 hours is where people and pets start to get kind of tired of the process. So during that time, though, we allow the dogs to run safely off leash, which again is a very unique aspect of our property, and we will capture them like in their natural state, I guess. And then during posed parts of portraits, I work with an assistant who will hold the dog on a leash, and that's probably one of the biggest concerns people have in the process is, oh my gosh, my dog's never gonna sit still and play for the camera. Like, you'll never be able to get anything. And so my assistant behind the scenes is like a magician. She seriously gets the best head tilts and perky ears and helps keep the dog exactly where they need to be in front of the camera and in front of the lights. And then she's just photoshopped out of everything. So it's funny, but also sad because she's such an integral part of the session, but then she poof disappears. So the finished portrait always looks like dogs are sitting magically on a dock or on a tree stump or in front of the barn. And the reality is they're being held on a leash and they're safe and they're controlled, but then the portrait looks perfect.
Yeah. Can you tell me a bit about your Pope pack? Because
how did that happen? Yes. Yeah. Jake, again, I had him before I got married. And he came into the relationship and was actually the reason that I knew my husband was the one. So when Jake met my husband, he peed all over the floor repeatedly, like every time he would see my husband. And my husband would take Jake for walks and he would go through confidence building exercises with him, and he took him to training so that the two of them would develop a bond and a relationship that Jake was happy and comfortable.
Oh my God. No, that's a keeper.
I know, right? Who does
that?
Yeah,
who does that?
So it was absolutely magical and made me fall in love with my husband even faster and more than I, you know, may have on my own. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we got married and moved in together, we adopted our second dog, who was our Mastiff Kimber. Okay. And those two had an incredible bond. And then Hannah, our St. Bernard, or our first St. Bernard, rather. And Hannah was just a big ball of goofy. I've never met such a goofball of a dog. Who was number four? Number four was Ellie. Ellie, our Great Dane. And she is our conniving one. Like, you can always see the gears turning in her head. So my husband found Hudson on Petfinder.
Okay.
And of course I wanted him immediately. I don't know why, but I had always wanted a deaf Great Dane. So double Merle Danes are a mistake in breeding. When you have two spotted Danes, they produce a double Merle, or part of the litter will be a double Merle. And a lot of those dogs are born blind, deaf, or with other birth defects and complications. Hudson has taught me a lot about working with dogs with special abilities and special needs, which again I incorporate into the business as far as being able to work with senior dogs who have lost their hearing, or dogs who, like Hudson, were born deaf. And Kimber actually eventually not only lost her eyesight, but we had to remove her eyes.
Oh.
So I've worked with deaf, blind, old, young, and each of my dogs have taught me something. The number six was Fletcher. Fletcher is an Irish wolfhound. I clearly like giant breeds, and Fletcher was the giant of the giants. We got him as a baby, and he is about to turn six now. And so those six were like the original pack.
Mm-hmm.
And then we added the two horses. And then, sadly, we started losing them.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as our second horse joined our pack, and we were a family of 10, which is crazy to think, that's when we lost Hannah. And then we lost Jake. And then we lost Kimber. And as sad as that is, it has opened us to be able to love even more dogs. And that's when Puzzle and Nora, our two St. Bernard puppies, joined our pack. And I know there will be more to come, but
it's one
that's
thing.
It for now.
It's infectious. But they're so
something
lovable.
About animals that they just have a way of making you whole.
Yeah. And they just cold-heartedly love you, I feel like.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. All of our dogs, that's been the case, just pure innocence and goodwill.
Yeah.
So yeah, Puzzle, we got just shy of a year ago, and never really expected to show St. Bernards, or dogs in general. but she is so beautiful, and she has a lot of really important qualities that the St. Bernard breed is looking to perpetuate and to preserve. So preservation breeders are specifically looking to have those qualities in their dogs. And then we ended up getting Nora, who is Puzzle's niece, and she is absolutely gorgeous and is even more correct as a St. Bernard.
Oh,
and
wow.
So the two of them have been an interesting introduction to the dog show world, which again has been so valuable in my approach with clients and with my own work, because it's allowed me to have a greater understanding of conformation and posing animals so that they look their best at certain angles. And there's definitely a place for the majority of our work, which is far more whimsical and silly and goofy, as well as creating stunning portraits of dogs who, you know, who have all of those traits and those qualities that make them show dogs.
Right. Yeah. No, and a lot of people, I think there's a misconception of showing dogs.
100%. And I would probably admit that I was guilty for being one of them.
No, I was. I am too.
So I grew up with rescue dogs. I clearly love having rescue dogs of my own and being involved in animal rescue. And I will totally be honest, it was a hurdle for me to get over purchasing purebred dogs, but the more I learned about it and the more I researched breeders and got to know the value that they bring and understanding there is a significant difference between purchasing a dog and purchasing mm-hmm. a dog from a preservation breeder who, you know, our Irish Wolfhound Fletcher, that breed would cease to exist without preservation breeders. It's not common, and you don't find them in shelters, which is an amazing testament to quality breeders who will take their dogs back if there's an issue.
Exactly.
But I do think that there is value in having breeds continue to exist for the purposes that they were bred for.
Right.
And while Puzzle and Nora are not out saving people in the snow, as much as they'd probably love to, you know, finding a really quality breeder who is in it for the right reasons and is, truthfully, it was eye-opening to learn there is no money to be made mm-hmm. if you're doing it right. It's specifically for continuing the lineage of purebred dogs.
One of my nephews has a St. Bernard in Switzerland.
Oh, yeah. Dream come true.
Yeah, so, I know. I know. So he, when he travels here, I was like, where's your dog? Like, I want to meet. And he was like, no, he's with his breeder. I was like,
yes.
The breeder will, free of charge,
yep.
take the dog, take care of it while you're on vacation.
Yes. Our breeder has become one of our closest friends. And honestly, more so than that, we would definitely, you know, consider her family. Mm-hmm. She was the first to love Puzzle. And we refer to her as Mama Tanya because, you know, while I, you know, love nothing more than being Puzzle's mom, Tanya was the one who created her and put her heart and soul into making her even exist.
Mm-hmm. No, she's beautiful. So thanks. Nora must be a nut.
Nora is, so Puzzle is adorable. Uh-huh. Puzzle has something about her face and her eyes.
That it's like, how could you get mad?
Right. Oh my gosh, she gets away with everything.
Yeah. I can see, like, her, you're like.
She looks at you and you can't help but melt. She's just the prettiest thing, I think. Ah, Yanko, you're beautiful too. Yes, sir. She's got that adorable little smudge. Yeah. So I was fortunate enough to be present for her birth, which was probably one of the most incredible experiences of my lifetime. Puzzle was the second one born in the litter. And I honestly can't tell you why, but the minute she was born and came out,
you were like, that's,
I knew. And like internally, my whole being just said, that's my puppy. I just had this cosmic connection with her that I can't explain.
You said that you started off taking pictures for shelters.
Oh, yes.
And so I wonder if that kind of influenced your getting into breeds or deaf dogs and blindness. And
I don't know. It's kind of the chicken or the mm-hmm. egg situation. Yeah. Obviously, working in shelters and rescues, was around all dogs and all different types of breeds and all different personalities and traits and abilities and, you know, special abilities. And I don't know if that came first or if I was drawn to assisting rescue because I do have a soft spot for, you know, animals and special abilities to begin with. So I don't know. I hadn't thought about that.
That takes a lot of, like, empathy, I feel like. You know? I mean, I love dogs, but I do know that depending on what kind of person you are and how much patience you have and all that, that kind of dictates the dog you get, you know?
I can definitely see that. It takes a lot more patience to have, own, and work with dogs who maybe can't hear or see or have limb differences or anything like that. But I don't know that I require more empathy. I just feel like I inherently have that when it comes to animals. I have so much more patience when it comes to dogs and horses than people even. My husband will definitely attest to that. I can I can put up with so much more when it's an animal because they they don't have a say in the matter.
Yeah, exactly.
That's just who they are. Mm-hmm. And I love them for that.
Yeah. No, and you do quite a gift. I mean, I don't really have a portrait of Yanko. And so now I'm like, I gotta get one soon.
It's important.
Yeah.
But back to your original point, surely you have hundreds, if not thousands, on your phone.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for the quality and the importance of having a professional portrait.
Yeah. And like this human, like another human touched this. Like this didn't come.
Yes.
I don't know why that matters. So another human generated this special moment.
Somebody created something specifically for you, about you and your important friend. And that's 100% how I view it is. I have the ability to give something to my clients that they can't necessarily give themselves, whether that means getting in the photo themselves with the dog, or the quality of the portrait and the lighting and the editing and everything that goes into it, that I'm able to create that for them. Yeah. And so that's why I take this so seriously and why I think that my job is very important and is not going to be replaced by a phone.
No, it's not.
I think since you're here and you are on this epic road trip with Yanko, I think we should create a portrait of the two of you guys.
Okay. I would love that. I would totally love
that. Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
All right.
Oh my God, this is exactly how you described
it. Isn't it perfect? I love it. I would recommend you sit up here with your back kind of against that.
Okay.
You can either, you can put your legs either over the edge. You
can
put
them
this style. Yeah, absolutely. Yanko, oh, look at you, athlete. I'm going to take the portrait with all your stuff on.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
I'll do one without it. Just
no, I think if
you want it all on there.
Yeah, I want it. Because I think, like, people don't get it. I've had to describe, like, I think to you, I did.
No idea.
Yeah, I'm wearing a bunch of stuff.
So let's have him either, actually, you know what? He's good right where he is. Take a couple different options. Oh, I love it. This is good. All right. Good boy. Good job. Okay.
Oh, that's so cute.
Hopefully that works.
Yeah.
And that gives you something really fun for the podcast.
Yeah.
I love it. Good boy.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you want to know more about our guests, read the show notes down below. Please hit the subscribe button if you liked us, and it would be even better if you would leave us a review. See you next Wednesday.